All right, let's dive into something really interesting today. We're looking at Kumess v. Transcontinental Garage, a property law case that's like a total classic. It's from Wyoming and really gets into how courts try to balance, you know, the strict rules of property law with just being fair, especially when people rely on agreements, even if they're just verbal. So basically, it's about a shared wall, a handshake deal, and how sometimes temporary permission can turn into a permanent right, you know, the kind of stuff that makes property law so fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. Kumess Transcontinental Garage is like the perfect case to study because it goes deep into the whole license versus easement thing. And then there's that really important concept of equitable estoppel. By the end of this, you'll totally get why a simple verbal agreement ended up having such a huge impact, legally speaking.
Okay, so picture this.
Yeah.
Evanston, Wyoming. We've got two properties right next to each other. Lot 8, owned by Tina Kumess and Mary Kachiris, and Lot 9, which belongs to, well, Transcontinental Garage. The whole fight is over a wall that kind of sits on or near the property line.
And it's not like this wall just popped up overnight. You got to go back in time a bit, to 1885, actually. Back then, there was a building that sat on both lots 9 and 10, and it had a wall that, well, fast forward, and that wall becomes the center of this legal drama. So we're not talking about, like, brand new properties here. There's some history involved.
Gotcha. So let's jump ahead to 1936. This is where things really get going. Kumess and Kochires decide to tear down their old building on Lot 8 and build a new one, a brick one this time. And here's the thing. They anchor this new building right to that old wall. And they did it, get this, with just the spoken okay from Transcontinental Garage, just a handshake deal, you know?
And that oral consent, it's like the foundation of the whole case, because in property law, you usually need everything in writing, right? Mm-hmm. Formal agreements and all that. But here, they just shook hands on it, which, as you can imagine, makes things a lot more complicated legally.
Yeah, I bet. And of course, as sometimes happens between neighbors, things went south. In 1947, not even 15 years later, Transcontinental Garage is like, nope, we're taking back our permission.
They claimed Kumess and Kochires were messing up the wall. And just like that, the friendly agreement was gone.
Right. And naturally, Kumess and Kochires, who built their whole building based on that agreement, weren't going to just stand by. So they sued Transcontinental Garage. They wanted an injunction, basically a court order, to stop the garage from messing with their use of the wall, which, you know, could have threatened their building stability.
Drama. So what happened in court? Who won round one?
The trial court totally sided with Kumess and Kochires. They gave them an easement, which is basically a legal right to use someone else's property for a specific reason. In this case, it was the right to use the wall to support their building. So at that point, it seemed like they had a permanent right.
Sounds like a clear win for the homeowners. But there's always more to the story in legal cases, right? Oh, absolutely. Transcontinental Garage wasn't giving up that easily. They appealed, and the case went up to the Wyoming Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, while they did agree that Kumess and Kochires could keep using the wall, they changed the trial court's ruling. They didn't think a full easement was the right call just based on that spoken agreement.
Okay, so this is where it gets kind of tricky, right? And really important for anyone studying property law. The Supreme Court didn't agree with the easement. Why? What's the big difference between an easement and what they actually ended up getting?
Right. This goes back to some pretty basic stuff. You've probably heard these terms. A license is basically permission to do something on someone else's land that, without that permission, would be trespassing. The owner can usually revoke it whenever they want. An easement, though, that's a whole other thing. It's like a real solid property right. You get to use someone else's land for a specific purpose, and this is important, it usually sticks with the land, even if it gets sold to someone else. So, the Supreme Court probably didn't want to grant a full easement here because, you know, the statute of frauds and all that usually says easements have to be in writing. And in this case, it was just a spoken agreement, a license.
Makes sense. But if it was just a license, why couldn't Transcontinental Garage just say, nope, not anymore, like they tried to do? That brings us to the whole adverse versus permissive use thing.
Yeah, that's a key point. So, for Kumess and Kochires to have maybe claimed what's called a prescriptive easement, meaning they'd gain the right through using the wall for a long time without permission, they would have to be using it adversely. That means without the owner's okay, open and obvious, and for a certain amount of time, like legally speaking, but here the court was like, nope, their use was totally permissive from the get-go because of that oral agreement. And permissive use, even if it goes on for years, it doesn't usually turn into a prescriptive easement because there's no like challenge to the owner's rights, you know?
Right. So no prescriptive easement because they had permission in the beginning, but they still got to keep using the wall.
Yeah.
This must be where that whole irrevocable license thing comes in, right?
Yeah.
And that's connected to equitable estoppel.
Exactly. That's the heart of the Supreme Court's decision and a super important idea in property law. Licenses are usually revocable, but sometimes the idea of fairness comes in and makes it irrevocable. Equitable estoppel is basically a legal rule that says you can't go back on something you said or implied before, especially if someone else relied on that, and it would be unfair to screw them over.
So in this case, how did that simple verbal okay become something Transcontinental Garage couldn't just take back after a decade?
It all comes down to what Kumas and Kochers did after they got that okay. They didn't just do some small thing. They built a whole new brick building and connected it to that wall based on what they were told. That's a big investment, a permanent change, and they did it because of that agreement.
And this is where the court's reasoning gets really interesting.
Yeah.
What did they look at to decide that the license couldn't be revoked?
Well, Justice Bloom, in the majority opinion, asked some really specific questions. First, did Kumas and Kochrius, the licensees, make big lasting improvements or spend a lot of money based on that license? And the answer was a clear yes, because they built that whole brick building and attached it to the wall. Second question, would it be totally unfair to Kumas and Kochrius if the license was revoked now? Like, would it be basically cheating them out of something because they relied on that agreement? And the court said, yep, it wouldn't be right to let Transcontinental Garage go back on their word after Kumas and Kochrius did all that building.
But it's important to note that not just any little expense would make a license irrevocable, right?
You got it. The court made it clear that it has to be something significant, a real change in the licensee's situation. Like spending a few bucks or making a small fix, that wouldn't be enough. Building an entire building that's prominently attached to the wall, that's the kind of big, serious reliance that equitable estoppel is meant to protect.
But the court didn't give them an unlimited forever right to the wall, did they? There were some limits to this irrevocable license.
Right. The court didn't want to give them a full-blown easement. This irrevocable license came with conditions. The biggest one is that they only get to use the wall as long as it's still standing and in good shape.
What about, like, repairs and stuff? Who's responsible for that?
Well, the court said that if the wall needs fixing, Kumas and Kochrius have to pay half the cost. Because, you know, they're both using it and getting something out of it.
And what happens if the wall just falls apart, like it gets too old or something?
That's the final limit. The court said if the wall gets destroyed or becomes unusable for whatever reason, the whole irrevocable license is over. Transcontinental Garage, or whoever owns the property then, doesn't have to rebuild the wall or keep it up just for Kumas and Kochrius' benefit.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. Why is this case, Kumas v. Transcontinental Garage, so important for law students, for anyone studying this stuff?
I think this case really shows how the strict rules of property law and the idea of fairness can work together. Like, even if there's no written agreement for an easement, the court can use this equitable estoppel thing to say, hey, this license can't be revoked, it wouldn't be fair. It also highlights how important it is to have everything in writing, especially in property deals, to avoid these messy situations where it's just a he said, she said kind of thing.
So imagine this, and listeners, think about this too. Let's say Kumas and Kochrius had just repainted their old building. And while doing that, they leaned a ladder against the shared wall for a few days, and the garage verbally said it was okay. Would that be enough to make the license irrevocable?
That's a good example to think about. And the answer is probably no. Repainting and leaning a ladder, that's all temporary small stuff. It's not like making a huge permanent change like they did by building a whole new structure connected to the wall. The big difference is how much and how permanently someone relies on the agreement.
So if we had to sum up the main point of this deep dive,
I'd say Kumas v. Transcontinental Garage shows us that even though licenses are usually revocable, they can become irrevocable because of this idea of equitable estoppel. But only if the person who got the license makes substantial lasting improvements because they believed they could rely on that permission. And even then, it's not unlimited. It usually depends on whether the thing they're using, in this case the wall, is still there and working.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, one last thought. Think about this case in today's world. Everything's changing, right? We're sharing more resources, not just physical things like walls, but digital stuff too, like online platforms and infrastructure. So how do you think these ideas of irrevocable licenses and equitable estoppel might apply to those situations?
It's something to think about for sure.
Definitely. Kumas V Transcontinental Garage might be about a wall from way back when, but those basic ideas of fairness and what happens when you rely on someone's word, they're still so important in property law today and even beyond that. Keep learning about licenses, easements, and equitable estoppel. It'll really help you understand this stuff.
Right. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.